Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast, where we hope to inspire you to dream bigger, empower you to take charge of your own life, and challenge you to be your most authentic self. To the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Angie Mullings.
And I am Tanya Murfin. And in today's podcast, we have a special guest with us, Mike Patrick. And Mike works in the Branson entertainment realm. He is the general manager of Branson's Grand Country Music Hall. And he is also a longtime friend of mine.
We welcome, go way, Mike. Way back.
Oh my gosh.
I've had many meals in her home.
Yes, you have. As a child. And Mike and my brother Aaron were very good friends growing up. Yeah. And Angie and I were talking about it before you got here. And I said, no, we go back to my first memories of you probably would have been when I was maybe six, seven, because you and Aaron would have been friends by the time you were probably seven or eight.
Playing
right?
Your mom's piano.
Yes. Yeah. And that is what comes to my mind when I think about you and having known you all these years. And we're Facebook friends, so I know what you do. And I hear about you every week because my mom and her friend come to your show every week in Branson, sometimes multiple times.
So three or four nights a week sometimes.
Yes.
I get to feed her.
But I always think about you probably growing up and being on the piano, Mike.
Yeah.
So tell us to begin with, because I'm curious, how did you learn to play piano? Who taught you?
Well, you know, I my grandma really. My mom played piano. My grandma had an organ. Mm-hmm. And at about 5 years old, I wanted to be a preacher. Mm-hmm. So my grandfather built me a pulpit.
Okay.
And so Sunday evenings, I made the whole family sit down, and I had church with my grandma on the organ, me on piano, me at the pulpit, and my dad and my granddad standing there, and I took an offering. I had a building fund going.
But, don't miss a beat.
No.
Don't miss a beat.
So my grandma would teach me chords, and so that's really started. But I did start piano lessons when I was five or six with Peggy Hicks, which is now Peggy Preston. And
yes,
Hicks, so.
You were always good friends with her.
Oh, absolutely.
And now that makes sense why, knowing that you were taking piano lessons with her.
So I started with piano lessons. They would only let me play classical music, and I just really didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And I was about, 11, and I saw a Jerry Lee Lewis Honky Tonk Piano TV special. And I told my mom, that's how I want to play piano. And so I just started playing by ear, and my mom had this 76 Monte Carlo with an 8-track player, if anybody
remembers
8-track.
Yes, we do.
And had Mickey Gilley 8-track, and mm-hmm. I would go out and listen. The girls all get pretty close in time in the car. I'd run into the house and try to pick out the piano licks, mm-hmm. then run back to the car, and if you remember, you couldn't rewind 8-tracks.
No.
So you'd have to listen to the whole thing till it came around to the song again. Yeah. Listen to it run. I ran the car battery down several times learning to play Honky Tonk Mickey Gilley piano. And what's really cool is later in my career, you know, Mickey Gilley was in Branson,
yes.
and he and I got to be very close friends, and I got to tell him, and I still have the 8-track, that I should have had him sign it, I didn't, but I told him, this is what influenced me to become a piano player.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a great
what
story.
What a full circle moment for you, though, right?
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. And I will say, my memory of you playing the piano, which I told her, I think I demonstrated,
she's
one of these.
Yeah.
Is Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what you think of when you think of Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yes.
That's what I think of when I think of Mike Patrick.
Yeah.
So tell us about your, obviously we know you're learning to play piano. Tell us about your background in entertainment.
Well, we'll set it up. In the meantime, I attended church in Nixa, Riverdale Baptist Church,
mm-hmm.
what could be otherwise known as the Ballnobbers Church.
Yes.
All the Mabes that owned the Ballnobbers. I went to church there.
And we attended there as well.
Yes.
Yes.
And so I really grew up with everybody that performed in the Ballnobbers show, and I kind of really, it was like, probably I was four or five before I realized that's not what everybody did at night. Mm-hmm. I thought everybody did a show, because mm-hmm. I just grew up with everybody that could sing, and they were all on a show at night, and we went to the show often. So the Mabes really framed Branson and show business for me. I mean, like from the time I was 4 or 5 years old, that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just loved it. And at the same time, fell in love with Silver Dollar City and always wanted to work at Silver Dollar City.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom made me get a summer job when I was 14 at the Nixa Pool and did that for a year. And when I was 15, I went and applied at Silver Dollar City, and they said I could only work in food, and I didn't want to do that. I wanted to work on the train and rob the train. They told me you're too young.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
Early when I was turned 16, I went and interviewed again, and they said, you're just too young. And a couple months later, they called me and said, we have an opening. We're going to take a risk. You're not of age, but we're going to take a risk on you. I thought I was brilliant. Now, years no, they were probably hurting for staffing. So I nailed this job at Silver Dollar City and come back and call my mom, and she was so mad at me. I think I was making $4 an hour at the Nixa Pool, and I took a job at Lost River at Silver Dollar City for $3.05 an hour and driving 70 miles around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
My mom thought I'd made the biggest mistake of my entire life. But, you know, that really opened a lot of doors.
Yes.
A year or so later, I still was pestering the boss on the train all the time. I know the script. I can come work the train. You're too young. You can't handle firearms. And one day I get a call at Lost River to go report to the robber shack. And I get out there, and it's the boss of the train, and the other guy had called in sick. So he's stuck robbing trains, and he goes, you really know the script. You can do this. I'm like, absolutely. And about that time, the train whistled for the robbery. He goes, okay, let's see what you got.
Oh my gosh.
So I went out and robbed the train with him, and it pulled out, and he said, you're hired. I'm going to lunch.
You Alfie or Ralphie?
Well, you did both.
Oh,
and then some days
okay.
You were the conductor.
So, okay,
yeah, you had to work in town.
Gotcha.
But that was one of the funnest jobs I've ever had. Yeah. And from the train, that led to going to performing in the saloon show, where I was in a couple years. And there's a lot of things that happened at the same time. Mm-hmm. So while I'm working on the train, I began playing piano for Judge Max Bacon's family. Max is a circuit judge, a former state rep for Missouri, in Springfield. He was known as Maximum Max because he gave maximum sentences.
Okay.
So I started, he had a little gospel, family gospel group, so I started playing piano for them. So in the midst of the train, in 90, we opened the Sunday Gospel Jubilee Show with the Bacon family at the Plummer Family Country Music Show.
Okay.
In Branson. We were there for a season, then moved to 76 Music Hall, which is now Grand Country Music Hall, which established my relationship with the owner of Grand Country.
Okay.
So, as I say, it overlaps here.
It does. You're right.
So, fast forward to 91, one day in the saloon show, John Shepherd of the Foggy River Boys. I was dating one of the saloon girls, moved to Branson for the Foggy River Boys. Their family loved him, so that's how so we were dating, and I had to go see the Foggy River Boys every Friday night because that was her family thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'd had a relationship with them, and so John Shepherd shows up at the end of a saloon show one day and starts talking to me. They're looking for needing a piano player, and I said, well, I don't know if I'm in college. I'm going to Missouri State at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They went on the road in the winter. I'm like, I don't know that I could do this. When do you need somebody? Tonight at 8. And 8 o'clock that night, I was sitting at the piano as a piano player for the Foggy River Boys.
Wow.
Foggies were the fourth show to start in Branson.
Okay.
They were kind of derived out of the Jordanaires. The lead singer for the Foggy Boys was the original Jordanaire on the Grand Ole Opry.
Okay.
Backed up Elvis.
Uh-huh.
And so I got this relationship with these guys who I'd looked up to. So I played piano for them for 2 or 3 years. Meanwhile, Silver Dollar City, I'm graduating college. I graduated with a degree in 92 with communications management from Missouri State. And I was moving into management at Silver Dollar City, first in rides. That's really where they kind of test you out, operations.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you can handle operations, you can kind of handle everything. So at some point, I was managing all the rides and then moved into entertainment management in 1994 and began producing all the shows.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would leave Silver Dollar City.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I figured I would retire there.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I'd want to do from being a little kid. Performing, I was kind of moving away from that, although I was producing all the shows, really moving off stage. And in 2001, I was driving by Grand Country's parking lot at night, and the show they had in there, they didn't have any cars in the parking lot. And I told my assistant, Andy, I'm like, I think they could do their own thing. He's like, what you call Glenn Robinson that owns Grand Country and tell him that. I'm like, well, why would I? And he's like, well, he calls you sometimes for advice. So I called Glenn Robinson. I don't know why I'm calling you. This is Mike Patrick, Silver City. I think you could do your own quartet show and be more successful and produce it in-house. And he's like, well, what are you thinking? And I'm like, well, I'm not looking for a job. I mean, you've called me for advice before, so I'm just calling you with some thoughts and what could we meet? So I start meeting with him, and before long, I'm producing the show on the side with my work at Silver Dollar City. And 2003, my last year at Silver City, I was producing 13 live shows. I was producing the Kids Festival, the Gospel Music Festival, and the Children's Festival.
Hmm.
Never a day off. So I've got Glenn, this show I'm producing in town, just bending my arm, like, I need you over here. And I'm like, well, I'm not looking for a job. you know, I'm just kind of helping you. And he just kept making better offers. And Glenn is a visionary with Grand Country. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. I hope I'm not rambling.
No, not at all.
I see a lot of things happened at once here. Glenn Robinson, let's tell you about Grand Country. My boss graduated college with a degree in microbiology. Okay. And he went to his first job. Glenn is a very positive man. He's 84 years old. He's built the place from ground up.
Yeah.
Always cups half full, always a smile on his face. Loves his job, loves the company. And he worked for this mean guy for 1 week in his field, microbiology.
Yeah.
And I guess at the end of the first week, his boss said, "What in the hell do you have to be so happy about?" And Glenn goes, "I quit on the spot. I decided I want to go do something fun." Mm-hmm. And so he and his wife bought a little grocery store in North Springfield. And it also had imports from Mexico. And he said it wasn't doing good. He had a daughter, and he said, "We were eating more off the shelves than we were selling." He goes, I need to do something different. So he bought an old truck, drove to Mexico, filled it with Mexican pottery, came back to Branson, and talked Walmart sets where Grand Country, the first Walmart mm-hmm. sets where Grand Country is, talked the owners mm-hmm. in there to letting him sell that Mexican pottery off the back of the truck. And he goes, "I was making more money in 2 months than I'd made in 2 years in Springfield."
Wow.
So another trip to Mexico with more pottery. Well, there was a building on our parking lot, which is now our family arcade center, and a pizza uh-huh. place. Uh-huh. He bought that building in 71, and it was a one-story building, and he took out what was in there, some kind of attraction, animal attraction, and put in retail and crafts. Okay. And he goes, "I made so much money the first year." That winter, during the off-season, he got out and built a false second story on the building himself. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "The business doubled. I couldn't sleep at night." So then I brought in a constructor who actually built a second level. And he goes, "The business was just, we were doing $1 million in t-shirts in 1975.
Wow.
So in 1986, Walmart came for sale, and he bought it, bought the building. Mm-hmm. And his next door neighbor was the designer for Silver Dollar City. And his name escapes me at the moment. Called up his neighbor and said, "I just bought Walmart. What should I do with it?" And he goes, "Well, I think you should put in a theater, a year-round restaurant, expand your retail." And so that's exactly what he did in 1987. Mm. We'd opened a 76 music hall and 76 mall was the title.
Okay,
then.
Yeah, yep.
Very successful. And he had Bonanza as his restaurant. And that's why he's year-round, because by their law, the restaurant had to be open year-round. Mm-hmm. So okay. That's why we operate year-round when most people close.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he built, in 1990, he built the first hotel building. We have 319, I should have set up Grand Country, we have 319 hotel rooms. We have a 60,000 square foot indoor-outdoor water park, mm-hmm. three restaurants, three mini golf courses, and a theater. Mm-hmm. I asked him one time, was that ever his vision when he started? And you know, he's like, "No, it just kind of kept happening."
Yeah.
But he built his first hotel building. He'd been open 2 months when the 60 Minutes special aired on Branson mm-hmm. in December. Of, was it 91? He was
early
the
90s.
Only mm-hmm. thing open. Mm-hmm. He said the phone started ringing and it's never stopped.
Yeah.
Immediately, the night after that TV show aired, people were flocking to Branson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then he built a second hotel building. Then he built a third hotel building. Mm-hmm. Then the water park came. Opening day was supposed to be 9/11. Mm-hmm. So he withheld opening a couple days out of respect for what happened on 9/11.
Yeah.
And it's just been this amazing journey how this place has grown. So then I started producing entertainment. I moved there full-time in 2004.
Okay.
And we produce 7 live stage shows and then a weekly television show.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Fascinating.
But what's, now I'm back in performing because general manager is my real job.
Right.
You know, that's that's all day long. In 2006, I changed the show at night called Grand Jubilee. It needed an MC. And I didn't know of one. We couldn't afford one. So I'm like, I'll do it for 1 year. And it's been 19 years.
Yeah.
And here still I am.
Here you are.
Performing.
Uh-huh.
Rhinestone suits and
that's
performing
right.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It really is.
Yeah. It's a great
and
story.
Thank you for the background mm-hmm. of all of that, because here in a little bit, we're going to go through kind of a trip down memory lane, a time clock of how Branson got built. But you've been there for all of it. Now, I know you weren't there, you know, I mean, you are in your 50s, so you're not ancient like some of these people, like your boss.
But you know what's weird is, you know, from the time I was 4 years old, and I'll even set it up a little further, because I do believe it's never been Mike Patrick. I believe it's been God holding my hand every step of the way.
You bet it.
You know, I was adopted at birth from St. Louis. And you just think about the road. I ended up with my parents in Nixon, Missouri.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great parents, attending church with the Maves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which led to my interest in Branson and Silver Dollar City. I was always such a fan of Silver Dollar City.
Yeah.
And Branson itself and the Maves. And so, you know, I looked up to the Maves as performers, and then second would be Presley's.
Yeah.
And then it was the Plumbers and then the Foggy River Boys. And it's just been weird. Those founding people that were my heroes at 4 and 5 years old later became my friends and my peers.
Mm-hmm.
Just this weird cycle that it could have never just been me.
No.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just a path. God said, I'm going to bless you in several different ways. And you're going to see it after a while. 30 years later, you're like, oh my gosh.
Well, it's just, my life has just been amazing and just been this blessing. And there's just times in my life where I, you know, I'm introducing Mickey Gilley, and he's calling me on my birthday, and and just things that I just sometimes pinch myself, like, what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did I get here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Standing next to a president, or, you know, I mean, just
exactly
weird things.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. You've been there for so long, and there's been so many ups and downs in the Branson history. Was it the 60 Minutes special that sort of changed everything, or was there another catalyst to all the change?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, the 60 Minutes thing really changed it. But if you look at prior to 91 or 90 when that aired, I mean, there were 10 shows. The Ball Knobber set 2,000 people and were sold out every night.
Mm-hmm.
Presley set 2,000, sold out every night. Foggy River Boys set 900, we were sold out every night. So that was pre-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Now with the Stars came a lot of building and, you know, explosion of roads. And
mm-hmm.
But, you know, people always think the Stars created it. And I just have to go back. I was there, and it was amazing
prior to
the Stars moving into town.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when the Stars did move in, and let's name them. So Wayne Newton came.
The first one would have been Roy Clark.
Roy Clark came.
Mm-hmm. He kind of told everybody, hey, there's a great thing going on in Branson.
Yes.
So I think it was Roy, then Mel Tillis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the order. You know, we had, and Yakov is still there. Mickey Gilley came.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Orlando, and then Wayne Newton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was Willie Nelson there too?
Willie didn't like Branson.
Oh, he didn't?
No. You know, Branson, you sit in the theater with your popcorn, you watch the show.
Yeah.
And Willie and Merle
were
used to concert situations, and that wasn't what Branson is. And they didn't care for it.
Yeah.
I think they did a season. And
I don't remember that lasting very long.
Yeah.
No.
But it to look back now, and so now, do you think that it's kind of went back to the old school basics down there?
It has. You know, it's the boom, you know, lasted 20 years.
Yes.
And it has slowed down. The thing about, you know, because people are always like, well, we need more Stars or we need new Stars. And, you know, I won't say no to that. You have to look at the Stars that we had. There are not stars of that caliber. Roy Clark was a music star.
Right.
He was a television star. He, you know, every Saturday night was in your living room on Hee-Haw.
Yes.
Mel Tillis was a songwriter, a music star, a movie star. Mm-hmm. Mickey Gilley was a recording star, a television star, a movie star with Urban Cowboy.
Yeah.
Nobody has, you do one thing, you sing, all these people we had, Andy Williams was a television star, a music star, all of them.
Yeah.
Had more than just music, which I think made them, their appeal so large.
Yeah.
And you look at people now, sing, or there's not the scope of stardom. And you think about, you know, Loretta Lynn was there a lot.
Yeah.
You think about the movie she had, Coal Miner's Daughter, which is, you know, an amazing story. George Jones performed at Branson. You never knew if he'd be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these stars were these characters that were bigger than life.
You're
and I feel like stars now are more kind of one-hit wonders, you're pretty one day, and then you're not, and then you're out. And, and it's just the depth of the people that we had.
Yeah.
And that they wanted to make Branson their home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you talk to any of them, it's like, I don't know, have to own a bus anymore.
Exactly.
There's not a middleman. I own the theater and take all the money and employ the people and play golf 2 times a day. And,
it did become a home.
Yeah.
And we heard that from, who did we hear at that conference? A Branson star, and he talked about
it
that
was
exactly.
Tony I came, Orlando, wasn't it?
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
he came because somebody said, "Hey, you need to go to Branson." He came and fell in love with it.
Yeah,
and made it his home.
Yeah, and he still lives there. I mean, he still sees Tony at Japanese Kitchen. It's a little bitty hole in the wall in Hollister. He loves to eat in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think what he's just been so good for Branson. You know, Branson, we have our, we celebrate veterans 365 days out of the year, and that's an important component to what we do. But, you know, we have Veterans Week, the first week of November leading into Veterans Day, and most of the shows offer free admission to veterans, and he always hosts this great big yellow ribbon show, and it's just, I'm so proud of that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every night I do a veteran speech in our show, and I stand them up, and you see men cry.
Shake
each other's hand.
That's amazing. And I love that, and kudos to you, Mike. You bring a different life to Branson just in this, us three sitting here today. I've learned so much from you and your passion behind it and the path that God said, go. I've got a job for you.
You know, it's funny, there's times it's been some things I didn't want to do.
Of course.
I remember being assigned the Bluegrass Festival at Star City. And I just, that wasn't really my passion at the moment, and thought I was kind of being set up. And then it ended up being one of the best experiences of my life, which led to being able to do so many other things.
Yeah.
You know, Chamber of Commerce, I'll be chairman of the board of the Chamber next year. And this is my fourth year on the Chamber board. I was not a big fan of our chamber prior to that. I had some thoughts about that. And Mary Kellogg, that owns the Titanic, was chairman of the board 4 years ago and called me and said, I want you to be my 1 year appointee. And I didn't want to do it. But you don't tell Mary
That's a big ask.
If you know Mary, you do not tell Mary no. And so I got in there and got involved and realized what great people there are, the great things that they're doing, the heart that they have for this town. So I just got more involved, you know, the chamber, whereas I'll be on the chairman of the board next year. I serve on our Christmas Coalition board, as well as the 76th Community Improvement District Board.
Okay.
Where we're getting ready to it's a $120 million project to redo 76, burying the power lines. It's just going to be beautiful, making it actually like a district.
That sounds amazing.
It's going to be beautiful.
I've heard about that in the past. It seems like that's been a project that's been a long time in the making. And those things just don't happen overnight. So
And just, again, one of those things where what the mayor called me and said, I'd like for you to apply for this board. What do I know about highways and burying power lines? And then I've gotten involved, and it's like, this is exactly where you're supposed to be.
You've learned a lot. Well, and being involved in the community, so that's a, you know, probably not a road you intended to jump on, obviously, and you were a little reluctant when asked. But I think oftentimes taking that step into that leadership role, you maybe find another strength of yours, and you're lending that strength to the whole community when you serve on those boards. So thank you for that.
Well, it's fun because especially this year, becoming incoming chair, you know, we're working on the slate of candidates for next year's board. And, you know, I've got a lot of input on that, and so many individuals I'm excited, and I'm pushing them, like, you need to get involved. Well, I don't have time. Well, you never have time. You make time and you're going to, we need your talents.
Fit it in.
But so it's kind of fun to, you know, energize new people and get them.
Well, and you have a lot of energy, so I think you're the right person.
Too much sometimes.
Well, let's,
Before we go down memory lane here, let's talk about the future of Branson for a minute. Like, what do you see serving on these boards? You're getting to see more behind the scenes, if you will, in terms of how these things work out, how communities move forward. What do you think the future of Branson needs to look like? Will it change?
It will change. You know, it's constant. It's always changed. I mean, you know, the only thing, you know, things are always going to change. I think we're a lot more family friendly. Not that we weren't in the past. I think the boom brought more seniors and more of a music crowd, and now we're seeing more families. So that's why I think you see a lot more attractions than theaters. Now, you know, especially with our property, we do an all-inclusive program. We're about the only place in town that can, because you can pull in our parking lot and not leave. We have an all-inclusive where they can come. Their stays included. They get all of our shows, a water park. We do include Dolly Parton Stampede and Silver Dollar City tickets. So I see us being a lot more family-friendly, putting together packages. I think people, the customers change. They just want to call, make one call and have it all done.
Yeah, We all want easy.
Yeah. Well, and especially if you're not familiar, right? What a great thing that I can just, if I'm not familiar with Branson, Missouri, and I make one phone call and you can tell me you've got entertainment and you've got lodging and you've got food and you know.
Right. And then that's where it started. My assistant, Andy, I brought him from Silver Dollar City when I moved to Grand Country. We worked together 30 years. And he kept pushing me on this all-inclusive idea for our property. I'm like, I just don't see how it would work. And I mean, we argued for a year. And finally, one day, I just get mad and stand up, go to the dry erase board and start putting numbers. And I'm like, this kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I called our food and beverage guy in. And he's like, this is a really good idea. And I talked to the owner. And he reluctantly did it. He told me, you'll do 100 the first year. The first week we put it online, we sold 100. So I slid it back to him. Look, we've done 100 in 7 days. And wrote back, you'll do 300. We do 300. Like, I slid it back. But, you know, the purpose, the whole objective was, so the people aren't sitting in their hotel rooms, wringing their hands, right. What can we go afford and do? Right. Can we take the family and do mini golf? We just got one price, which is a great value.
Yes.
And just plan it for them, and they come and have a great time.
Yeah.
And don't sit and worry about shekels.
Exactly.
Yeah.
2 points I'd like to make to that. My oldest daughter, 26, has two littles. And they've been the last 2 years to Grand Country Inn. And Blake, my oldest granddaughter, it is a huge highlight of her winter for them to go down there and stay. And there's a little bunk room in the room they stay. And, I mean, that's a big deal. So if she were sitting here, you'd have a 3.5-year-old on your team. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And the second thing I want to say is same daughter – her in-laws went to Branson this past week as a staycation, and they stayed over by Indian Point in a nice big house with a hot tub and, you know, a community pool. And they spent the week coming into Branson and eating and shopping and spending their dollars right there, you know, 40 minutes from us. And I asked her, because I have a lake cabin on one side of the lake, and her father has a lake cabin on the other side. So they get to come to the lake all summer long, you know. And I wondered how the Branson vacation would be. And she said, oh, my gosh, Mom, it was amazing. We didn't feel like we were in Branson at all.
Yeah.
So that's just a good testimony to how you can even live right here.
Right.
Yes.
And take advantage of everything that's down there in some manner.
And, you know, it's interesting because I think sometimes there's a bad perception. Like, you know, they think of Branson as the tour buses and older folks.
I think
and
that's
common. And it's interesting when you get them there, you've got a fan. You've got a return visitor.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know this existed. You know, one thing like with our show, Grand Jubilee, and it's evolved. It's in 22 years running now. You know, we used to do a lot more Oak Ridge Boys, Statler Brothers, more country music. In fact, we were even doing 40s music when we started. And now the show has evolved because the audience has evolved. It's Motown. It's rock and roll. Bruno Mars. And, you know, people come to the show every night leaving going, well, I didn't think I'd like this, and I've loved this. And I just always think, how can we fix that perception coming in? Because I think people, there's a resistance. And I'm hoping I'm answering your question. Where's Branson going? I think it's, you know, it's going to constantly evolve, and we have to stay up with what the customer wants.
Exactly.
You know,
you're right.
Mike Patrick loves Porter Wagoner and Dolly Parton. I could not write a show and sell tickets.
Right.
The 2 hours of Porter Wagoner and Dolly Parton.
Right.
So you have to be commercial.
Yeah.
You have to keep your finger on the pulse of.
You do.
You know, because the customer's ever changing. You know, it's interesting the voice that children have on vacation decisions. When I was a kid, I never got to voice where we were going.
No.
I was told to get in the car.
Exactly.
Sit down. You're going to have a good time. And it's interesting now to see families. The kids have a lot more input and decision making on what the trip's going to be. But you know, we talk Grand Country and what I do, we have so many incredible things. Big Cedar, Top of the Rock.
Yes.
Oh, that golf, the cave golf cart tour at Big Cedar is one of my, when people ask when it comes time what you to do, I always recommend that.
Yeah.
Dogwood Canyon.
Yes.
You know, and Silver Dollar City.
Yes.
So much to do.
You know, and it's still part of my heart. I've always thought I'll end up back there someday, you know, and I'm still friends with Brad Thomas, the president of the company, and, you know, and a lot of people I worked with out there, so I'm still involved. If you go to Fire in the Hole, the new Fire, I'm the voice.
Yeah. Oh, you are?
Okay. It sounds better than this one today. ragweed. But so what I was saying, like the food.
Yeah.
That's not theme park food.
Right. Yeah. No, it's not.
I go there sometimes to eat and see what's new. And,
right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially when you go to other theme parks that are just very ride and seem a little cheap. You know, Silver Dollar City is quality and
they
something
did it right.
For us to be proud of. Look at their pumpkin festival.
Oh, yeah. I've never been. It. I'm going this year.
Oh, it's amazing.
Going
you've
this
gotta
year.
Go. And, then, and then Christmas, of course. Yes. Nobody does Christmas.
Yes.
Better than Silver
better
Dollar
than
City.
That. Yeah. I went to Christmas last year for the first time in probably 15 years since my kids were young, you know.
Yeah.
And loved it. Loved all the smells, all the feels. Right. All, you know, I mean, just that is Silver Dollar City at Christmas with a scarf on and eating a funnel cake, you know, and waiting in a big long line to get that funnel cake, you know. But I've never been to the pumpkin festival, and I'm going to take the littles this year.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It it's just so great that we have that incredible asset in our back door.
Agree.
Well, and think about how there was a time when Branson totally shut down from November to and people have recreated that time to bring continue to bring people in.
Yes.
And that has been a huge boost for
Christmas, November, December are our biggest months.
Yeah.
I mean next to summer. Summer, you know, those 2 months.
Right.
But
right.
Christmas, especially, you know, we all closed at the end of October. Like all the shows had tour buses and had to tour on the road November through April, mid-April.
Wow.
And, you know, for us, we don't ever close.
Yeah.
The theater operates year-round. It's amazing for us, but I think because we have the indoor water park, winter weekends for us in the winter are big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's amazing, and it really is just a kind of a, you seem like a pillar, Grand Country, you know, inn and the hall and the music show, all of that. You just seem like a pillar of the community because you are open all year. Mm-hmm. You can count on you guys to be there, you know?
Well, you know, and I just can't talk enough about my boss, Glenn Robinson. He's just one of the smartest men I've ever met. And that's really one of the reasons when I told Silver Dollar today I was leaving, I said, this would be like Jack Hershen calling me and saying, I want you to come work right underneath me. I could not take that opportunity to,
of course,
to work for Glenn and side by side, and I still, when you can get the man to talk and tell stories, you shut up and listen.
Yeah,
because he made every mistake he could make as a first time business owner.
Of course,
and he's learned from all those. He's let me make some, so I learn.
Yeah.
It's an awesome thing to have a mentor like that. That you can still call up daily and visit with and has taught you so much and kind of just took you under his wing and said, okay, let's do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's amazing.
It has been amazing.
And I'm really proud for you for
it. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been a great journey.
Yeah. Well, and what's the next 10 years going to hold? We're going to have you back in here and you're going to tell us.
I'll be on more boards.
That's right.
Yeah, you will. But you will accomplish more.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go down a quick memory lane trip of Branson. And then at the end, Mike, I don't want to forget for you to perk the show times and certain things for people to pay attention to. Okay, so Marvel Cave found and opened in 1894 as an exhibit. It was leased by the Hershen family in 1958, opening the Ozark Mountain Village, later to become Silver Dollar City in 1960.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm sure we all remember at some point going to Marvel Cave when we were a kid or probably as an adult.
Well, and you know, that's
how the
whole thing started.
Exactly.
It was cave tours with the Lynch sisters.
Yes,
and the Hershens came from Chicago and fell in love with the place and took over that lease. And they realized they needed to create, they were getting drawing crowds. And so there was lines waiting to go in the cave. So they started, well, we need an ice cream shop or we need a craft to keep people busy waiting for a cave tour.
Right.
And you just think that's how that whole thing evolved.
And how, how viewing Silver Dollar City now, how it started with that.
Yeah.
When I walk in, and when we went in the last time I was there, the cave being right there when you walk in, it always just makes me, it gives me the you know, young kid vibe.
Nostalgic.
You remember the smell, the cool air, and being down there. You just can picture yourself being down there. I always have that feeling when I walk by the entrance there if I'm not going in.
Yeah.
So, 1907, Shepherd of the Hills opens. 1910, Rockaway Beach opens as a destination for a vacation. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a kid going down to Rockaway Beach for revivals, actually. Mm-hmm. We went down there. Mm-hmm. And that would have been in the probably late 70s. And that was my introduction to Rockaway Beach. Yeah. You know, we'd go down there for church.
I think about the ski ball. We go play ski ball.
Oh, yes.
But you know what's amazing with Rockaway Beach? Before they built the dam,
yes,
that you could swim in that water. Mm-hmm. I mean, my parents dated in Rockaway Beach.
Really?
There's still a little restaurant there called the Pizza Cellar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's still there.
It's a destination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things to do twice a year, spring and fall, when it's a beautiful day, we'll rent a boat, Lily's Landing, which is above Branson Landing.
Okay.
And spend the whole day going down. And once you get past Branson Landing, it's the Ozarks Untouched. Mm-hmm. For people that have never gone down to Nanticoma, it's just beautiful. So then you go on to Rockaway, dock the boat, go eat at the Pizza Cellar.
That's a great
and
day
I think
trip.
It's always amazing. Oh, it's beautiful. And going down to Powerside Dam.
Yes.
Because that was built in 1914 when the Titanic was built or sunk.
Sunk. Yeah, I think.
But you can dock your boat there and walk over. They still generate power down there, and it's so peaceful and quiet.
Yeah.
There's bald eagles. Mm-hmm. But just people miss this part of Branson, I think, that's so cool.
Those are the hidden gems, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
1959, we're into Branson shows. The Bald Numbers, the Mabe family that we've talked about, started in Rockaway. And then 1969, the Bald Numbers moved to Highway 76 in Branson. You ever talk to them about that trek from being in Rockaway and the big move to Branson? I'm sure it seemed like a huge decision.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah, because
you
they originally formed to entertain visiting fishermen at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they'd have the wives out in granny dresses waving at cars and trying to draw a crowd in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think in the beginning days, of 20 people was a crowd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the crowds kept getting bigger.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they needed a bigger
theater. Need a bigger place. Yeah. That's cool to think about, though.
Yeah.
So 1963, Silver Dollar City becomes Missouri's number one tourist attraction, with the Beverly Hillbillies recording several episodes late 1960s, introducing the nation to our now famous park. Mm-hmm. And I remember, of course, growing up watching the Beverly Hillbillies and seeing those on. And, you know, as a child, in your mind's eye, you're like, wow, the Beverly Hillbillies have been to Silver Dollar City?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Well, and, you know, some of the Silver Dollar City employees got to be in the TV show, like Shad Heller. So then you could go to Silver Dollar City and see Shad, who you'd seen with the Beverly Hillbillies, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that is cool.
We felt really big, I'm sure. Yeah. And that was filmed in the 60s.
Yeah.
I was watching it 10 years later, right?
Yeah.
1967, the Presleys opened their theater. 1980s, the Hershens opened Whitewater. Other things like the track were open, with go-karts, bumper boats, mini golf, and arcades, as well as the Inspiration Tower was opened in 1989. And I didn't realize that had been there that long.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the year that I graduated. Yeah. And I just would have, you know, like today I would have said, oh, it's probably been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
No, it's been there more than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
1991, 60 Minutes broadcast Branson as the country music capital of the world. Highway 76 filled up with Andy Williams, Mel Tillis, Mickey Gilley, the Lennon Sisters, Willie Nelson, Oak Ridge Boys, Wayne Newton, attracting busloads of visitors. And you touched on that in your story. You were down there among the thick of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were witnessing all of that madness.
Yes.
Right?
And it was madness.
And it was madness.
Yes.
The traffic was unreal. Because we still hadn't, you know, worked on the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, there was one road, two lanes.
Yes. Two lanes. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to go perform at the Foggy River Boys every night, you know, you'd plan an extra hour.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
To get to the theater.
Yeah. The early 2000s was the opening of the Branson Landing. Hotels, restaurants, and shopping brought a new vibe to the Branson area. Then the Titanic Museum and 2008 Sight and Sound Theater. And that, we all can, you know, think about the early 2000s and those, you know, Branson Landing was a big deal. Mm-hmm. It was like,
huge.
Oh my gosh, this is a whole new world created on the Hollister side of Branson.
Yes.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen to the rest of Branson?
Yeah.
To me, it cohesively blended because it was
just
so different.
Anchor. It does. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, another anchor of Branson.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they do summer concerts every Saturday at the Landing, which is so cool to be in front of the fountains.
I know it is.
I just got to host a Chiefs rally.
Oh, you did.
About a week ago. And it was just this thousands of people in their Chiefs jerseys. And
yeah.
It was one of those moments I'm like, what am I doing here?
This is really
cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
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 And it's me. I get to emcee it. The late 2000s, Salvador City gets recognized for Outlaw Run and Time Traveler roller coasters, as well as their fall and Christmas festivals. 2016, the Ballparks of America, built to draw in families playing baseball. Branson Ferris Wheel, Johnny Morris's investment in Big Cedar Lodge improvements with Top of the Rock, and five nationally awarded golf courses. I mean, the golf that you can go to play in Branson these days is amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. And gets national recognition every year, right?
Yes.
So that's a whole nother reason for people to come to Branson is to play golf.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many private jets that come in every day. Mm-hmm. Lots of famous people come golf.
Really?
You never know they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing to kind of know that there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
I recently had dinner at Top of the Rock, and I'm sitting next to, I can't think of his name. His name just escaped me. Country music star. Kid Rock.
Oh, yes.
Just sitting right there next to me.
Yeah.
Said hi.
Yeah. He's been a staple.
Gosh. And my friends, I'm like, that's Kid Rock. I'll play it real cool.
Yeah. Give me a sec. Yeah, for sure. That's him. Funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are probably stars among us a lot down there.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure Johnny Morris entertains a lot of them that are personal friends of his. I think Kid Rock is one of them that is a personal friend. So,
You know, I meet a lot of famous people. We have a television show, so we've had a lot of, you know, famous country stars and singers on the show. I got to meet Johnny Morris a couple of years ago, and I think I was more nervous. My hands were sweating. And nicest guy, I stopped him and introduced, can I get a picture?
Right.
I never do that. But, you know, I just think what he's done. I remember as a little kid going into his original liquor store and with my dad and my uncle. They were buying fishing lures and, you know, it was that little liquor store, which is now Bass Pro.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't remember if he was in there, but I just remember I was in his original store, which started the whole thing.
That's
and
right.
I told him that, and I said, you know, furthermore, look at what you've done.
Yeah.
Next to God, you've been the biggest friend the Ozarks has had.
Yeah, for sure.
And the work that he does with conservation. I mean, the man's heart is in the right place, and then all the things he's built for us to enjoy, it's really amazing.
It is.
Yeah. Well, before we end, two things. So you and I get to share a funny story here, and then I want to make sure that you tell our listeners when they can come down and visit your show.
Yeah.
So give us your times a week that they can come in the evening and have a show. Tell us what your week looks like down there.
We typically have three shows a day. 10 a.m. is our classic country show called Down Home Country. Stars Billy Yates. Billy is a Grammy award-winning songwriter.
Oh, wow.
He wrote a lot of the hit songs for George Jones. They were good friends, so he has a lot of stories about their relationship and stories behind the songs he tells.
Yeah.
Then 3 o'clock every evening, we have the Comedy Jamboree, singers and dancers, three funny, very talented comedians, live band. And then at night, we have the Grand Jubilee Show, which stars our quartet, New South, female vocalist Jackie Brown, our comedian Jamie Hagee, and myself. I host the show and do a little honky-tonk piano. But it's a lot of Motown, a lot of rock and roll.
Yeah.
And then Friday nights, we tape our television show. It's called Branson Country USA at 10:30 at night. And it's... We've been a radio show 22 years, a television show 12 years.
Okay.
The late Dave Bowen from KOLR came down 12 years ago with Tom Turton and said, we want to turn your TV show or radio show into a television show. And I thought he was crazy. So we air in Springfield on Sundays at 2 p.m. on KOZL.
Okay.
And then we're syndicated. We have a potential viewing audience of 80 million people across the country.
Wow.
In all kinds of different states.
Yeah.
And who
affiliates.
Knew? That's amazing.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's
been good for us, but it's good for Branson.
Great.
Each week we welcome a special guest from a different show, and they get to plug their show.
Yeah.
But all our information you can find at GrandCountryLiveMusic.com.
Okay. Very good. Does my mom and Kenneth ever have they ever been to the 10 o'clock or the 3 o'clock show?
No.
It's always the 7 o'clock.
I think it's me.
It is absolutely you. We're going to see Mike tonight. Trust me, I hear about it every week.
I get a hug almost every night.
I know. That's awesome. Okay, so I told you before we started that I talked to my brother, Aaron, this morning, and I asked him, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about Mike Patrick? And he said, Merpet.
That's funny.
I know it is. And when he said it, Mike, so we're going to let you in on it. Uh-huh. When he said it, my mind goes to, okay, hold on. I know that name. I know that reference. What is it? And he says, well, it was a production show mm-hmm. that Scott Murray and Mike Patrick put together in Scott Murray's basement, and we would go watch it every week.
Yes.
And then a memory comes back
Their
to me.
Their houses backed each other yes. through the woods.
Our fields back to each other. Yeah. So we would run across the field to Scott's house, and Mike would either be with us or with Scott, and you would put on a show. And I remember being in the basement and watching something.
Well, Scott was, and it is, brilliant. His dad owned the Nixa Hardware Store.
Yes.
And converted their basement of their home into a TV studio. He built this news set. We had cameras. He built his own, with a Tandy computer from Radio Shack, a three-camera switcher. We had camera operators, and so we'd do weekly newscasts and plane crashes.
And how old were you?
Oh, we would have been 10 or 11.
That's what I was going to say. Couldn't have been older than 12.
But Scott Murray, Mike Patrick, so it was Murpat.
Murpat
Productions.
Yeah. Isn't that a blast from the past?
That's
you
funny.
Can thank
We
Aaron
almost
Gardner
put KY3 and 10 out of business. I had Steve Grant Warren.
Oh, my gosh.
I bet you did.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I love that memory, though.
That's
it was
fine.
It had to jog
That's
my fine. Memory, but I remember it. So it's so good to see you.
Oh, thank you for having me today.
Yeah.
Thank you. This
Pleasure
has been a wonderful education about Branson and you and your life and your role in it. So we want an update sometime in the future. We're going to stay in touch.
I look forward to it.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you to Gershman for producing our show today. And we just want you to share the episode if you have anyone who needs to know more about Branson.
Yes, and go see Mike Patrick's show.
That's right. Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic Podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.